Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are opening a truly fascinating portfolio of source material. We've got everything from ancient Chinese folktales and Aesop's fables right up to, well, an established modern code of ethics.
Right.
And our mission is really to go beyond just reciting these stories. We want to drill down into the core principles, you know, human conduct, morality, how we structure communities.
Yeah, and what's remarkable here is the consistency. We're comparing the guiding principles that structure, say, a successful organization today.
Right, like integrity and service.
Exactly. With these narratives that are, I mean, literally thousands of years old, we're looking for the constants, the universal truths that define trust and effort, no matter the era. It's like an inherent moral compass.
Okay, but let's unpack this. I think we need a clear map, and we have one.
Yeah.
We have a foundational set of core values from Rotary International.
Mm-hmm.
And it provides an excellent framework for our conversation because these aren't just, you know, abstract ideas. They're principles that intentionally drive leadership in a massive global organization.
And those five core values are really the skeleton for this whole discussion. We have service, fellowship, diversity, integrity, and leadership.
Right.
They're explicitly tied to things like the four-way test, which means they're meant to be guideposts for, you know, daily conduct, for making ethical decisions. If we can see how they work in an ancient story, we can see how to use them today.
That sets the stage perfectly. And we have to begin with the foundation because, well, nothing else stands without it.
It's integrity.
Integrity, that commitment to accountability, to high ethical standards, even when it's hard. And our first tale, The Empty Pot from China, it tests this value in just the most dramatic way possible.
It's such a profound test of character over results. So the story starts with an aging Chinese emperor. He needs a successor, and his method is, well, it's brilliant.
A little manipulative, maybe.
A little, yeah. He gathers all the children in the kingdom and gives each one a special seed. And the instruction is simple. Come back in 1 year with what you've grown.
The pressure must have been immense. And so we meet Ling, a boy who loves nature. He's thrilled. He runs home, plants his seed, waters it, gives it sun.
He's completely devoted. The story says he even sang to it, moved it to new soil. For 12 long months, he cares for it. But here's the heartbreaking part.
Nothing.
Nothing grew. His pot was just full of dirt.
Oh, that's just devastating. Imagine the shame. He knows all the other kids are going to show up with these huge, beautiful plants.
And they do. But his mother tells him, you know, be proud of your hard work no matter the result. So Ling, carrying his empty pot, goes back to the palace. And the courtyard is just filled with gorgeous flowers.
It must have felt like a failure convention.
Right. So the emperor walks through the crowd. He's frowning at all these beautiful flowers until he gets to Ling and his empty pot.
And Ling, he's probably fighting back tears, just explains honestly, Your Highness, I tried my best, but it wouldn't grow.
And this is where the reveal happens. It raises a fascinating question about leadership, right? Is it okay to set your team up for failure to test them? Because the emperor smiles, and he announces that all the seeds he handed out were boiled. They were dead. They would never have grown. All those beautiful flowers everyone else brought, they were proof of deceit. They had swapped the seeds.
So integrity wins, but not in the way you'd expect. Ling was the only one who was honest, who valued truth over just, you know, looking good.
It's such a powerful metaphor for professional life. I mean, how many people are tempted to fake success to impress a leader? Ling showed that accountability, even when it looks like failure, is the real measure of character.
And if that's the reward of integrity, we can just flip the coin and see the consequence of lacking it.
The complete erosion of trust.
Which brings us to Aesop, the boy who cried wolf.
A classic.
Yeah.
And it's driven by something so simple, boredom.
All right, the shepherd boy just starts tricking the villagers, crying wolf, when there's no wolf, just to get a laugh. He wastes their time, their energy, their goodwill.
So when a real wolf finally does show up and he cries out for help, what happens?
They've been conditioned. They think it's another trick and they don't come.
The moral isn't just about the personal danger. It's a lesson in, say, organizational communication.
Wait.
A few small lies destroyed the entire social contract.
That destruction of trust, it led to his complete isolation in a real crisis. The quote at the end just sums it up perfectly for anyone who deals with clients or stakeholders.
Nobody believes a liar.
Even when he is telling the truth. Integrity is the currency of credibility. Mm-hmm. And once you spend it, it's almost impossible to get back.
That takes us smoothly into our next value.
Yeah.
Once you have integrity, you can move from protecting yourself to investing in others.
Right, through individual action.
And that's the bridge to perseverance and kindness.
And this is where it gets really interesting because we're shifting from these grand ethical tests to the, well, the simple daily grind. Think about pursuing a goal, a career change, a long project. We all know the hare and the tortoise, but I think we oversimplify it.
We do. It's not just a race. It's a study in strategy versus arrogance. The hare mocks the tortoise for being slow and is so certain he'll win that he, what, takes a nap?
Literally takes a nap beside the course. He substitutes confidence for actual execution.
But the key detail is what the tortoise does. Or maybe what he doesn't do.
He doesn't speed up. He doesn't try to compete on the hare's terms.
He just keeps going. Slowly but steadily.
Yeah.
That consistency, that commitment to the process over the spectacle, that's what wins.
We see that in business all the time. Chasing hypergrowth versus sustainable compounding effort. The race isn't always to the swift.
Right. It's to the one who just keeps showing up.
And that consistency has to be paired with kindness, which can create allies in the most surprising places.
Like the lion and the mouse.
Yeah.
The powerful lion spares this tiny mouse. And the lion thinks it's hilarious when the mouse promises to repay him someday.
The ultimate mismatched alliance.
But the mouse is true to her word. Later, the lion gets caught in the hunter's net. The tiny mouse finds him and gnaws through the great ropes until he's free.
So the insight isn't just be nice.
No, it's about strategic humility. It's about reciprocal value. You have to ask yourself, who are the mice in your ecosystem? The people you might overlook who have a skill that could save you in a crisis. A kindness is never wasted.
That idea of practical kindness leads perfectly into the ultimate expression of our first core value, service.
Right. And for that, we turn to the parable of the Good Samaritan, which defines service not as a feeling, but as sacrificial, actionable care.
The scene is so stark. A man is beaten, robbed, left half dead on a dangerous road.
And then we see the contrast. A priest and a Levite, men of high status, they see him. And they both pass by on the other side.
They just avoid the problem. Maybe for religious purity, maybe out of fear, maybe they're just too busy.
But then the Samaritan comes along.
Yeah.
And he's a person who would have no cultural affinity for the victim. But he sees him, and he's moved with pity.
And this is where service becomes measurable. It's not just a thought. It is full spectrum, costly care.
It's costly in every single way. He doesn't just offer a comforting word. He bandages the wounds using his own expensive oil and wine. He sacrifices his time, his transport, putting the man on his own animal.
And his money. He takes him to an inn, cares for him overnight, pays the innkeeper 2 denarii, a huge sum, and then says, what?
When I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.
The level of commitment is just astonishing. It's a full assumption of responsibility for a total stranger. That is the gold standard of service. The neighbor wasn't the one who shared his culture. It was the one who showed mercy.
And if we connect that kind of individual sacrificial act to the bigger picture, we start to see the community values.
Fellowship and diversity.
Exactly. Rotary's definition of fellowship is great. It says individual efforts address individual needs, but combined efforts serve humanity. You multiply your resources.
And the best way to visualize that interdependence is this analogy of the career day quilt.
Right. A third grade class is drawing their dream job on a square of fabric pastry chefs, firefighters, engineers. The plan is to stitch them all together into one community quilt.
The quilt fills up with all these, you know, glamorous jobs. But then the questions start. The students start questioning the less glamorous roles.
Mm-hmm. A quiet girl named Rose says she wants to be an actuary.
An actuary. And another kid asks, does that even help people?
And Rose has to explain that she helps insurance companies stay stable so they can actually pay people when things go wrong. Her job isn't flashy. It's the backbone of financial trust.
The scrutiny gets worse when another boy, Liam, shows his square for a garbage collector.
The kids giggle. But Liam defends his dad. He says, my dad says without him, the city would be a big mess.
And that's where the teacher brings it all together.
She points out that if the baker bakes bread and the farmer grows wheat, but the garbage collector doesn't pick up the waste, the entire system fails.
Right.
If the manager builds the homes, but the actuary hasn't stabilized the risk, those homes are vulnerable.
Every single job is essential.
The community isn't built from 100 of the same successful piece. Mm-hmm. It's a quilt. It's stronger and more beautiful because of all its unique parts working together, which is exactly Rotary's take on diversity. A club needs to reflect the whole community to be strong.
Which brings us to our final contemplation. We have to bring service back into focus, but taken to its absolute extreme.
The point of complete self-sacrifice.
If that, we have to look at the giving tree.
And the tree's service is so absolute, so singular. It's a direct contrast to the collaborative strength of that quilt. We can just track the stages of its gifts to the boy.
In childhood, it's easy, renewable service. Shade, apples, branches to swing on.
Then, as a young man, he wants money. The tree gives its apples, its core capital, to be sold. As an adult, he wants a home. It gives its branches. And finally, as an old man wanting to escape,
it gives its trunk to make a boat.
And this is the crucial ethical tension in the story. After giving its trunk, the text says, and the tree was happy, but not really. It introduces this dilemma of unsustainable service. Self-depletion, even for a noble cause, it brings this sadness, this isolation. It really makes you think about things like burnout.
The resolution, though, is so quiet and powerful. The boy, now an old man himself, comes back. He's used up every major part of the tree. He needs nothing but a quiet place to sit.
And the tree, which is now just an old stump, straightens itself up as much as it can and provides that resting place.
And the tree was happy.
That final simple act is met with that final simple phrase. Its ultimate purpose was to fulfill a genuine need, even if all it could offer was rest.
So wrapping this all up, what does it mean? We started with these five core value service: fellowship, diversity, integrity, and leadership.
And we found them tested and echoed across all these timeless stories.
For you, the learner, this gives you a curated set of principles for success.
Right. Integrity from the empty pot, that's the character you need for trust. Perseverance and kindness from the tortoise and the mouse, that's your model for consistent action. Diversity from the quilt is about structural strength. And service from the Samaritan and the tree, well, that's the ultimate purpose that directs leadership.
The principles seem so clear. Integrity builds trust, consistency drives results, and strategic diversity makes a system that can actually withstand pressure.
So we leave you with this final thought. We saw the priest and the Levite walk right by the dying man. They valued their schedule, maybe their status, over an immediate human need. But the Samaritan stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So, considering the unexpected power of the mouse who rescued the lion, what seemingly small act of mercy or kindness are you currently overlooking? What piece of your community's quilt, that actuary, that garbage collector, are you dismissing?
That small thing could turn out to be the most critical form of leadership your community needs right now. Something for you to mull on.
Indeed.
We'll see you next time for the next deep dive.